When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby. When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only. What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get.
They can help you find work in any industry. With just one interview at Express, you have a connection to endless jobs.
Whether you want a contract job, a new full-time role, or a summer job, choose Express Employment Professionals.
Express has more than 860 locally owned locations and no fees for job seekers.
Visit expresspros.com today to find a location near you.
Indy is obsessed with the concept of auto-tune, and he's always asking, like, well, can we do that? And I'm like, yeah, but you should actually learn how to sing. Don't just cheat.
Wait, he's interested in auto-tune from the perspective of, well, I'll just sing a song, and if it's not good, can't we just auto-tune?
Yes. Because it's come up when we're watching things, you know, the idea, like, we've been watching the Zombies movies and right. The Descendants films, which are great, and he keeps bringing up, like, well, is that them really singing? And it's kind of hard to tell sometimes. You know, we've had to, like, right. Google it. And even so, and actually, it turns out a lot of them are real singers, which is great. But, you know, I can't sing very well. My wife can sing incredibly well. She's, like, pitch perfect every time. And Indy's, you know, he's got a good voice already. He likes singing, but he loves the idea that he doesn't have to learn how to sing, that he can just maybe express himself and we can auto-tune it. So he's like, can we get that software? And I'm like, actually, I think we can. Can you just download auto-tune software and figure
Probably.
It out?
But so here's a better question then. Why doesn't he just sing and go, well, even if it's bad, who cares? I just want to express myself. I don't even need auto-tune to make it sound good. I just am going to enjoy it because I have fun doing it.
I guess I put too much pressure on him.
Nice. That's what it is. Your fault.
We're like basically like, no, you should learn how to sing. I mean, partly right. because I never learned how to sing and I was in musicals as a kid, but no one ever explained to me, like, even though I took piano class or whatever, I didn't understand hitting notes as a concept. Mm. Like, I really thought that you just, like, heard whatever instrument was going, and then you just kind of jumped out there and sang. Like, I never learned pitch or hitting right. notes, and it's like really basic. And
can you read music?
No. But I just like, I wish somebody had sort of sat me down and like taken me through, you know. And I think the problem was I just didn't have a natural enough talent. But yeah, interesting, you know, bringing this full circle to Boy Meets World, like people have commented, there's an episode where I sang on Boy Meets World. And people have said like, oh, your voice is great. It was auto-tuned, an early version of auto-tune. I remember
what did you sing?
I've got you, babe. It's remember we did like a karaoke episode when Ben and Danielle did the War song.
War, yes, right.
That was.
Well, I got up there and sang really "I've Got You, Babe" with a girl that, you know, that was a guest star who was an amazing singer. She was like a professional singer and actor. And I worked hard. Like, I remember practicing with her, but I had to harmonize, and I can't harmonize. I can't do any of that. But anyway, so like, I've had people come up to me and they're like, "Oh, you actually have a good voice." I'm like, "Yeah," because I remember Ray Colcord coming up to me after, like, the next week. He was like, "Don't worry, I fixed it. It sounds good."
Oh, jeez.
And that was like back in the day before like auto-tune was available to everybody, you know. So he was using his incredibly high-tech 90s equipment.
Yeah, they used to do that because I had to sing To Sir With Love to Feeney at the graduation episode, and they sent me to like a professional singing coach for 2 weeks before that episode. Yeah. And then when I finally did it, I did it as like a joke, and I remember going like, why did I need all the professional lessons if I'm flopping around on Bill? And like, it was like
make
I will like
make
a legit
you more confident.
Thing.
I think it was. Just
I mean,
to make
I sang a ton growing up. I was just better at smoking, so it was. that's what happened. It's like there comes a point where you pick which one do you want to do? And I was like, I'm really good at the smoking thing.
Ryder, we were in an acting class together for a while, and one of the classes we had to sing, and I was absolutely terrified.
Oh, it's my nightmare. I hated it.
I mean, I hate singing in public. And I think I can trace it back to, sorry, Mom. I think I can trace it back to in the car with my mom going back and forth to auditions and just singing like no one was there. And I remember at one time my mom said, "Can we let Celine Dion sing it?"
Oh, nice.
Oh, no. And we're finally getting to the dark side of Jen Fischel.
Thank you, Mom.
For the first time.
She was probably just like so sick of hearing me.
I'm sure.
And it, by the way, it was fully a Celine Dion song. Like, I was belting out notes. I had no business trying.
She misses the 80% of the time.
And I just remember thinking, well, I'll never do that again.
No, I know. Like, I mean, I've always said the same thing. My brother used to make so much fun of me for singing, you know, and it's a bummer. Like, but I do think that I definitely want to encourage Andy to feel free and to sing, because I think it's so beautiful. Like, you know, I wish I could sing. Like, I would trade anything. I would cut off
really?
My left
arm. Really? That's the one you would pick as singing? Really? Okay.
Absolutely. No, haven't you ever heard the thing that all actors want to be rock stars and all rock stars want to be actors?
Sure,
like, I totally believe that. Like,
I would pick playing an instrument over singing, though. Like, being an amazing guitarist or an amazing pianist over having a great voice.
No, I'd want to sing. Yeah, I'd want to sing.
But if short of singing, musical talent is just like, I do play guitar. Like, you know, I picked it up when I was in my 30s and taught myself like enough of what I like to sing to, but I would never do it in front of anybody else.
Right.
I just play with my family. I sing by myself and I have so much fun. Like,
having kids has made me a lot more comfortable just embracing that because Adler is so free and loves to dance and sing and I like to dance and sing with him. And so I have overcome my fear of looking like an idiot. I will do, I mean, I look like an idiot 100% of the time when I'm out in public with my kid. If it's going to make them happy or comfortable or we're going to have fun together, I'm doing it. So thankfully, like, inside the house, even in front of Jensen, I never would have sang before. But now that we have kids, I'm just basically a singing. I'm a big old joke in this house, which is totally fine.
Yeah. Sue knows that I turn everything into a song. So it's like, I'm that guy where it's like, she's cutting up the watermelon. And it's like, oh, God. And she'll be like, will you stop? And I'm like, now I'm stopping. So it's like, I will sing makeup stuff all day long. It's just, I know it's annoying as hell. That's me.
You sound like a lot of fun, honestly. Sounds like a fun house. Yeah. Adler would enjoy coming over to your house.
I got pooped on today. Does that count? That's a whole nother story.
Sue?
No, I know. I was like, give it a break. No. On a walk today, walking our dog this morning, a bird. I know it's good luck, but I didn't know what hit me. So I then reached Licked down it? To go, what was that? And I come up and my whole hand, I was like, ah, and I had to like run home and wash myself down.
How about introing the Pod Meets World stuff now, Danielle?
Yikes. From bird poop to Pod Meets World.
That's right.
Welcome to Poop Meets World. I'm Danielle Fishel.
I'm Ryder Strong.
And I'm Wilford Dale.
Oh my gosh.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fishel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You're right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Bouqs.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Bouqs order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Bouqs Company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Bouqs is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Bouqs.com, promo code WORLD.
Bouqs, promo code WORLD.
As a podcast focus on reliving memories from our past, I can tell you firsthand, as you get older, your memory just isn't as reliable as it used to be.
Yeah, if we didn't have Will here, there would be a lot of dead air.
That is true, Robert. Well, guys, since I know you need a little help, you're going to love Legacy Box. It's the safest way to digitize your home videos and pictures, even when you think you don't have a way to watch them anymore.
Oh, this is perfect, especially with Mother's Day right around the corner.
It really is the perfect gift for the whole family, whether it's a sweet 16 or college graduation.
First steps or performing a Backstreet Boys dance in between scenes on your childhood network sitcom. This is the way to reconnect with your history.
The process is so easy. You just fill your legacy box with old VHS or camcorder tapes, pictures, negatives, film reels. I mean, they even work with over 15 different types of analog media, so they have you covered.
Then you just send the box back, and their team professionally digitizes everything by hand in the U.S., and you'll get it all back on the cloud or on a thumb drive, along with your originals.
I recently sent off my first box to Legacy Box, and I got into my old storage unit and found about 40 tapes, all different media, and I was able to label each one and send it off. I cannot wait to see what these tapes hold.
Jensen and I also recently got some of his home videos digitized, and being able to hear his parents' voices again has been a real gift.
So join over 1.5 million families that have trusted Legacy Box with their memories.
Go to legacybox.com/world to save 60% during their best Mother's Day sale ever.
It's time to connect with your past and make sure those memories are preserved properly.
That's legacybox.com/world.
So today's guest is quite an interesting one. This is somebody who I was fortunate enough to meet maybe like 10 years ago. And I met her because of her talking about Boy Meets World on the radio. Starley Kine is a writer and a essayist and a, well, now she's a television writer, but she was really known early on for doing This American Life.
Yes, and I know so much of her This American Life work.
Yes, her This American Life work is amazing. And then she created one of the greatest podcasts of all time. It was called The Mystery Show. And it became a huge breakout hit, probably the biggest podcast after Serial that really established the form. So for our listeners who don't know you and don't know the Boy Meets World connection, all the way back in 2002, you appeared on This American Life and you did a segment talking to Ira Glass about professing your love for comfort TV, which was kind of a brand new concept at the time. Now I feel like that's something everybody talks about, right? It's like we escape the world by watching comfort TV. But for you, watching reruns of Boy Meets World, which were, you know, all over the place back then, you talked about how you found comfort in Boy Meets World. And it's hysterical because that kind of predicts what we're doing here with Pod Meets World, which is, you know, talking, it's not just reflecting on our personal experience, but I think for our listeners, Boy Meets World is that. So talk about that. Like, how did that come about? Where did you come up with that? Or,
I mean, I remember I used to come home from This American Life and watch Boy Meets World every night. And it was like on somehow, I mean, it was before streaming, obviously, but I mean, I didn't have cable or something yet. I remember it was on the, It was a syndicated show, and This American Life, you worked really late. Yeah. So I'd come home at like 11 o'clock, and my only existence was working at This American Life at that time, and then coming home to watch Boy Meets World, because it was, that was like my last waking hour home before having to start the cycle again. It was like, I mean, it's so interesting watching a sitcom now and trying to like get back into the headspace. And I actually found it quite easy. Like when I watched the episode for you guys, I was like, oh yeah, I understand why I sunk into this. But it is so strange too to watch sitcoms now.
Right. Because so the whole form is just kind of outdated, right?
Yeah. And also there's been so much, we've seen so many takes on it. Mm. Now it's like satirized. Now when we watch sitcom, the only sitcom that anyone we know watches now, it'll be like WandaVision or
right.
Hope or something, or Too Many Cooks. But right. Like, I feel like we were the last tail end of people earnestly watching sitcoms.
Right.
And I was watching Boy Meets World in reruns.
Now, do you think, just curiously, because it's so interesting, because I'm a television, a nut. I just love it. I love everything about it. Television was always my comfort growing up.
Yeah.
Do you think sitcom itself is dead, or do you think it will come back in the traditional four camera kind of format form?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like every time they try to bring it back, it doesn't. The only ones that seem to really take off when they try to bring it back are the ones that were the ones before, right? Like the Conners are doing kind of well, right?
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like the reboots are doing okay.
Yeah. I think people still crave the comfort. I think they might crave the comfort more than ever right now. And yeah. I think they would love it to work. We're at such a point where everybody is so aware and so afraid of that earnestness, but they crave it so much too. So if they were like, could find a way to have permission back in. I mean, Abbott Elementary is not that format, but it's a network show that people are watching, and it's a good show. So I think we're like, told they were allowed to access, like feel that way, they might like really go for it. And then I'll see also, like, it's weird because I feel like when I look at what really young people like now, there is there is some like unapologetically earnest stuff that they really love. Mm-hmm.
Starly, do you have like a favorite? I don't want to ask you if you have a favorite episode, but if you do have a favorite episode or a least favorite episode or even like a favorite time period, do you like the early episodes? Do you like the middle or the end of our seventh seasons? Like, where do you think our show is really like finds its groove? What's our strength?
I mean, it's they're different. It was interesting watching a really early one for this because you're not even Topanga's, like, you don't even know what's gonna, like, the love is like, you're like, oh my God, he doesn't know what's coming. He doesn't know what, like, this girl that he's calling weird is gonna be like
the love of his life.
The love of his life who he's consumed by. So that's interesting. I mean, I think what's good about it's hard to say. I think I like them all for different reasons because your kind of show is actually the show you watch kids grow up.
Yeah.
And so it's, if you pick one period, you're saying, I like this time in that person's life. Like there's such an innocence to watching these little kids get older and find themselves.
Yeah.
So I think I like the early times and I like the early Topanga, like when you guys are first getting together and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I love, but Sean really was my, I'm not just saying this, you guys are both here, but Sean was really the one that I gravitated to the most. Like, I feel like that archetype of a character, like the kid who's a little bit the troublemaker and also like you can feel the pain behind it.
The angst,
so much angst, Ryder.
That type is also like not really on TV anymore. Like I feel like that was so formative for so many people, that right. whole type of character.
I was gonna say it's just funny because we haven't even quite gotten there yet with Sean, like in our rewatch.
I know.
There was an episode we talked, the Santa's Little Helper, which it did start hinting at that, but it hasn't become the thing that it became, where Sean was just the source of so much pain and misery, and you're just watching him get sort of tortured every episode. That really doesn't happen, I don't think, until like third or fourth season. So it's really interesting because I feel like Sean is still on the fringes of the show right now, and there's all these hints at like his home life, and like even in this episode, I make a reference to like, oh, my dad yelling at me, and I was like, oh my God, what is his home life like? We haven't gotten there yet, but it's funny.
So let me jump in. Let's talk about it. We are jumping into season one, episode 12, Once in Love with Amy. It originally aired January 7th, 1994. And the synopsis is that Corey accidentally discovers his mother might be having an affair, all while struggling to solve a math problem at school. It was directed by David Trainer. It was written by Ken Kuda.
Ken Kuda, the greatest laugh. The greatest laugh ever.
Yep.
Yes, we've talked about Ken and his amazing laugh. So it starts in the Matthews kitchen. Eric is on the phone with a girl named Kristen asking for forgiveness. Then she hangs up on him. He says the big difference between guys and girls is that girls want commitment and guys want girls.
15-year-old wisdom. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. I'm just curious, but I want to know why I'm always wearing the number 83.
Oh.
It's just, it's like,
I didn't notice.
It wasn't the year I was born. I don't play any sports. And it's
this
like,
this is not the first time?
No, if it is the first time, it's not the last time, certainly. For some reason, they just decided I was a wide receiver and we went from there. I think it was very strange. Or actually, 83, I think would be more of a tight end, but it's like, okay. It was just kind of interesting. But
it was ask Ryder what it is. Is it what number would 83
be? Yeah, Ryder. When you're in the 80s,
you just said like you were just speaking Latin. I have no idea what you're talking about. Tight what? And how do you know based on the number? None of that makes sense.
The number that you get correlates to the position that you play on the field.
What?
So you notice like
blew my mind.
All
really?
Quarterbacks
in all
have
sports?
Like lower numbers.
Or just
not,
football?
No, just in football.
Football.
Okay.
So it's you know like the linemen are usually in their 60s or the 70s, and the
quarterbacks are like eight.
To 13-ish, that kind of thing. And then you've got the wide receivers and the tight ends. The tight ends are usually like 82, 84, something like that. I was 84 when I played a tight end.
Amazing.
Thank you very much. I was, by the way, the worst football player in the history of the sport.
Really?
We went 1-11, and I think we won the one game because the other team just didn't show up. But it was, so that I was just curious as to why they put me that kind of, there were always in jerseys, which is interesting, but they specifically picked 83 because I remember wearing that shirt a lot and I just didn't know why. I didn't know if maybe you guys knew why, but
no.
Whenever you see, I was looking at all the clothes on the kids, like it's always like your sitcoms are so ubiquitous that you start to be like, did kids actually dress like this or did sitcom kids just dress like this? And then we look back and we think, we're like, that must have been how kids dress, but I don't think it is how kids dress.
No. There's no way any 12-year-old or 11-year-old got up and said, well, let me first find a long-sleeve T-shirt, and then I need a short-sleeve T-shirt, and now and I need a cut-off vest, and where's my hood? I don't have a hood, so I'm going to have to throw on something with a hood, and here's my first necklace, and here's my second necklace.
No. Although, I will say, in the 90s, rings and jewelry on guys was very popular.
Yes, that's
so
true.
So by the end of the show, I look like I'm wearing brass knuckles. I had like a ring on every single finger.
Really?
Oh, man. It was, you look back now and it's like, what am I wearing? But yeah, jewelry was big on men back in the 90s. Boys.
Then you're like, which informed what? Did people kids were dressing because sitcom kids dressed like that? So they thought that's how kids dressed and then real kids did started to dress. Like, where did it start and who was making the decision? The decision to dress kids like this that then made kids dress like that.
Well, then let's discuss it. Does life imitate art or does art imitate life? Let's discuss.
Exactly.
Do you all remember, I'm just curious, we would get, so the start of the year, we would do like a massive wardrobe fitting. Right. Right?
We would?
I thought we'd,
we'd walk in and do like a 20 outfit. Bunch of try it. It was always a nightmare.
And you're taking pictures.
This is where I try and change now.
Taking 1,000 Polaroids at the time. Mm-hmm. It was all done with Polaroids. And then were the producers there? Or
no,
is that why the Polaroids were there? They'd look at everything. And then did we then have to go have a fitting again? Or was it just picked from the Polaroids that we have? I can't remember that.
It would be picked from the Polaroids. And then they would buy things in the same sizes, same basic shape or design of what had already been approved. So there would be variations, but mostly each season it was like, these are the, you know, especially for me, like I would only wear like 3 pants the entire season or 2 pairs of pants. And then, there would be a stable of shirts and then they would know that those fit me and had been approved. So then there would be shirts that were like similar to that.
But we still did wardrobe fittings almost every week or at least every other week because everything was tailored. I mean, not necessarily in season one, like you guys' shirts are huge, but I know I remember on regularly being like, okay, you're not going to school now, don't go to school, stop at wardrobe first. And then it would be maybe something I tried on at the beginning of the season, but now I was going to wear it the following week. So it needed to be tailored because we have,
I don't think I did that.
I think they maybe paid more attention to your clothing.
Yeah.
For us or for me, it was always just like baggy, big, put it on.
Me too. Yeah, same thing.
So you guys must have been growing, actively growing too. So they had to be.
Some of us were maybe growing. I stopped growing right around the time I started the show. I came onto the show at 5'1" and I left the show at 5'1".
Me too.
I had to do that extra inch.
It's important. It's important. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, how old were you when you were on the show, when you started?
I was 12, so I was on the show from 12 to 19, right? Or you were 13?
I was 13 and I was done growing, so I'm tall.
You stopped growing at
13?
You stopped growing
so
at
13? So I was 5'8", and I did not grow after from season one. So that's why I seem tall on these first, the first season or two, but then I'm not tall. So there was,
Now
so I didn't really grow. I kind of stayed the same. I probably got thicker.
I was already 16, so I think I had done growing too. It was like 5'9" and a half, and that was it.
I definitely think that this first season, the goal was, and it's just because it looks good on camera to have layers, to have like depth. And that was like, they
and
just
color.
Kept and color depth and color. And I think that was the overriding concern. I think making me look smaller was the overriding concern. I know second season, we had a new wardrobe person come in. That was Sarah Mankiewicz, Markowitz. Do you remember her?
Markowitz.
And she came in with an agenda and she came in with a very cool style, and that's where everybody
came
started
in with
wearing
a style.
The bowling shirts and like the sort of like
Topanga's
1950s
cowboy boots.
Yes, and that's where I think Boy Meets World kind of upped its game as like a we're gonna actually steer the culture a little bit with our look. But this first season is just kind of a mishmash.
Eric went preppy in the second. It was like always in button downs and chinos and sweaters and she had a look. She came in with, you're right, she came in very focused, where it's like, okay, this isn't working, we need to have everybody
I think that's why they brought her
look.
In was to like, you know, give her that mission. Yeah,
sure.
They're probably shaping the characters more too. So then they like, this first season is just like your sitcom kids.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Right. Throw sitcom children.
Yeah, and it goes with what we've heard about second season, them wanting to age us up. You know, that's also going to change our look and change our style and everything that we do. It's like, we're going to essentially start over with the look and go from there. I was like, oh, okay. I mean, of the sets too. If you think about all the new sets and the high school and everything, it was like, we're going something new for season two.
So continuing back into the scene, Alan walks in looking for Amy with a red rose he picked up from Feeny's backyard. And then Amy walks in panicked. She's looking for work papers. We're really establishing her as a real estate agent now. And we
blick
get
split
the
level.
Line.
The brick split,
the
brick split level on Oak Street.
So bizarre.
So that's the moment you guys have been talking about. You didn't know which episode it was in, but she says that and it became something Will has said for 30 years.
30 years. Where are you going? So, brick split level on Oak Street. Like, we would just throw it into conversations. I mean, that is one of those things that just stuck with us for some reason. It's a nothing, but it's so stuck with us.
So Alan keeps complimenting his wife, but she isn't really paying attention. She's got too much on her plate. And she yells for Morgan to come down. She needs her to eat her oatmeal before it gets cold. And then Judy calls saying she can't babysit while Amy is at her bowling league. But Eric offers to take the weasel. Nice, so Eric's going to babysit. Corey asks for money for pizza, and Eric takes the rose Alan picked to give to the girl who hung up on him. So he's going to give it to Kristen. Then Morgan comes down and sees that her oatmeal is cold. And this whole opening scene was the very first time in the 12 episodes or 13 episodes we've watched now where I didn't feel like the show was just about Corey.
Right.
It was about a household.
It was a family.
Yeah. It was about a family and the dynamics of a family. There actually isn't any Corey storyline in it other than he's going to order pizza that night.
You're right.
So it was really fun. Yeah. It felt very much like
the problem, the math problem.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't start yet. That's in the next scene. He goes in the classroom. Yeah. So in this opening scene, we see
it's Alan.
It's
Alan wanting a hug is really the objective in the scene.
And Amy being stressed.
And her being stressed.
And Eric having been dumped by a girl. Everyone had a problem. Everyone had something, really, except Corey. Corey was just kind of watching his family work around him. So I thought it felt really different.
It's old school farce. It's old school farce. It's Fawlty Towers. It's doors opening and closing, people passing by without talking. Everybody's got their own agenda. And these were some of my favorite episodes. We did several of these throughout the years, but only several of the 158 episodes. And these kind of doors opening, closing, everybody having their storylines and putting their heads down and doing what they have to do. These are always my favorite because everybody
had
a mission.
It is fun as an actor, right?
Yeah.
It's also just you really have to rehearse to nail down these beats and timing. And you have to be listening to each other. It's super fun. Yeah. Have you guys ever seen Noises Off?
Yeah, exactly.
Or the play.
It's much ado about not. I mean, it is that same kind of... That vibe. But one of the things I wanted to talk about, we don't have to talk about it right here, but I already brought it up, so I will. this episode, these are the longest scenes we've ever done.
I know. Yes.
I mean, these scenes are so long. There's like six scenes in the entire episode.
Yeah. I know.
It's crazy.
I know it is. It's really the whole episode just felt different, and it was so fun. So then I also love, just to touch on it as well, because we just recently interviewed Betsy Randall and we talked about her and kind of her getting the short end of the stick. This is an episode really focused on her.
Yep.
Yeah. And it was a really fun opening scene for her to see her fully established in something other than just making the cinnamon rolls. She still makes the cinnamon rolls, but it isn't her only focus
the oatmeal,
of the day.
But she bails.
Yeah.
She's gotta
and
get
so
to work.
I really thought that was like a cool, different way we get to see her, which made me happy. Okay, so then we get into our opening credits and we end up in Mr. Feeny's classroom. Feeny is teaching math because he teaches every subject now, apparently.
He's a math teacher. He's a math. That's what I thought. I was just wrote math? Like he's teaching math now?
He's a social studies teacher who also teaches English lit and teaches
history
math.
History and math.
Is there anything the man can't do? Corey has the answer, but Mr. Feeny wants to know how he got to the answer instead of just giving the answer. But Corey is actually wrong with the answer that he has, which he believes is 7.
7.
Minkus explains the equation to Corey and says that the answer is 4.5, 4.5 minutes. But Feeny tells him he is wrong, too. Minkus is absolutely shocked. He walks out and goes to the nurse, which
is great.
Is so cute.
The extra behind Lee most of the time is looking at the camera and then looking back. And then looking at the camera and then looking back. And then looking at the camera and then looking back.
I love how you notice everything, Will. Like, I'm so focused on like whatever the main storyline is. I never see things in the background. That's amazing.
It helps that he's not in the scene.
It does. It does help.
Topanga starts channeling the ancient Egyptian mathematician who first solved this problem, and I start, like, gurgling. So this is apparently after the last episode I did, where I did a growl. Yep. They thought it was funny enough that they wanted to see if they could make it a runner.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Gonna the demon inside.
I feel like you had, like, real, like, Luna Lightyear kind of vibe.
Yeah. Very good point.
Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember this episode at all, but I did remember the first one I did where I made that growl sound. I didn't remember this one, like, at all.
I remember okay almost everything about this episode. Isn't that funny?
Do you really?
Yes. Yo, I remember individual lines. Like, the second it started, it was like, oh, yeah, Minkus is going to get it wrong, and he's going to... And then I remembered him coming in and all, you know, hair all messed up. I remembered every scene of this episode. It's pretty funny. For whatever reason, this one was lodged in my brain. And I remembered lines, like, you know, beats. Yeah, it's super funny. But yeah, seeing this one was like, oh, yeah, I remember doing this. I don't know why that is. Like, and yet I didn't remember Santa's Little Helper, where I had such a big part.
You didn't remember the split level.
The brick split level on Oak Street, exactly. Does anybody, I guess it's just me, I guess we won't talk about how the ancient mathematician in Egypt came up with a thing about washing cars. We'll do that.
And also, we never really find out, because the right answer turns out to be that
there is no right answer.
I have a real bone to pick with that.
Yeah, okay. Because there is.
I didn't want to jump ahead, but I'm like, are you kidding me? What do you... So that, I'm like, maybe it wasn't math class. Maybe it was philosophy class.
Right.
What do you mean there's no answer? Like, what is he doing? Like, that's crazy. Of course there's an answer. And was it, is it, what, does he just not know the answer? I was so disappointed.
I know. And I did look it up last night.
Is there
an answer?
There is an answer. Of course, it's a math equation. So what I was actually going to say is that the Egyptian mathematician would have created the formula. So this is just one of those things, like a train is going this fast and a train is going this fast. And where do they meet up? Like, there is a formula. It's like something X times blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And so there is an answer. The answer is about 3.2 minutes. Like,
oh, so even Minkus's correct answer is actually wrong. So his
correct. His answer is wrong, but there is an answer, and it's in the 3 minute mark. Right. I'll look up exactly what it was again, because I couldn't go to bed without knowing. I was like, by the way, let's look this up, but then didn't write it down.
Okay, so you became Minkus.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely grew up to be a Topanga Minkus.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it that Danielle is really just Topanga Minkus.
No.
Like, 3.5 doesn't satisfy me either. Like, I feel like I want there to be, if it's not, it's kind of a crazy example to have chosen that doesn't have like a satisfying answer, and also for it to be no answer. Like, it's not the kind of, it's not like the train, are you going to kill one person or everyone on the train?
Right.
Kind of. Like, he's not putting that kind of thing. If it's a mathematical equation.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not really philosophical.
It's like the beginning of, like, QAnon or something. Like, math doesn't exist. Facts aren't real. Like,
wow. Yeah.
That's funny.
But it's true, because it's not really philosophical. And if you are throwing out a mathematical equation, then of course there's an answer. It's a mathematical equation.
Right. So. Is telling you that this math problem isn't real. Like, that's really
real.
This is why he teaches. You just want someone to pop in and say, stick with social studies, Mr. Feeny. This is why
it's true. Everyone, well, I feel like this was like, that was like the undercurrent of like that math class, because he doesn't know math, so he can't, like, he somehow has snuck in and is teaching a subject he doesn't know. he, even when he's doing the numbers on the board, he's not doing real, like, his stage business.
Right. Right.
When he's filling it out, it's just like
squiggles.
Frozen squiggles.
Yeah. I also noticed that he wrote 4, 3, 2, 1 at one point. But yeah, he was like, but he wrote 3 first. He was like 3, and then he wrote 4 above it, and then he wrote 2 and 1. It was like, oh, somebody just told him, just write whatever you want on the board.
Right.
But he did it in kind of an amazing way where it looks like he's like, and subtract. It looks like he's carrying the one.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
Actually, like the 1, 2, 3, 4. Because these like, actual motions are very convincing. And then when you see, and then he draws an arrow. But then you're like, you don't know. How, you're a fraud. You're both. No one knows math in this school. Even like,
well, the math teacher. The yeah, math know. Teacher knows math. That's Mrs. Kankel down the hall yeah. knows math.
Exactly. Like, that's why I think he was, Minkus was having a breakdown was because he was now being taught math by someone who doesn't know math.
So right.
He had to learn his.
You're right. It's not his fault.
Rules. No.
Oh, man. Okay, so Topanga actually gets the answer right after channeling. Corey asks to look at her paper, and she turns around and angrily growls at him. And then Corey says it's not fair that Topanga is cheating off of dead guys.
Question, Danielle. I don't know why my mind went there. Did you actually write something down, and do you remember what you wrote?
I did actually write something down because I also noticed at the beginning of the scene, my pen, I am furious when he gives the question, I am furiously writing. And I did always pick in scenes something to write on my paper, whether it was just like, I had a really good lunch today. I enjoyed it because I had turkey and green beans. Like, even if it was just that, I would just write that over and over again in my notebook so that it looked like I was really doing something. But I have absolutely no memory of what it was. It may have been something like, you know, I don't know, like I love whoever I had a crush on that week over and over again. I'd love to find those notebooks.
Okay, just curious.
I did really write something. So then we end up back in the Matthews kitchen. Corey and Sean are playing with Morgan's Barbies, and they are still shocked that Minkus got the math problem wrong and Topanga got it right. They see it as a mystery. And then Minkus knocks on the door looking completely disheveled, still out of his mind because he got the wrong answer, and then walks out.
I thought this was going to be the one where he talks about, remember how Lee talks about how much he loved the episode where he was drunk on Yoo-hoo? Yeah. I thought this was that, but I guess it's a different episode.
No. Oh, but Lee is so good. And he gets applause when he leaves
the
room.
Clapped. He gets an applause break.
Yeah, he gets an applause break on the exit. I was like, that's amazing. This like a 12-year-old actor just storming in and delivering this. He's so good. He's such a good little force to be reckoned with.
I love the way they disheveled his clothes too. Mm-hmm. The way like he had the perfectly disheveled coat off, something off the side. He just, did he wear his glasses askew?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
It was really great.
It's almost like it all seems so innocent to these kids wandering by themselves. Like,
you're right.
Like, he just comes by himself and he leaves by himself, and you're just like, do they all live 2 blocks apart from each other?
Right. Because like, 2 blocks is mentioned later when Sean leaves.
I caught that.
And now you would be like, I guess this was after, this must have been that era post worrying about kids getting kidnapped. And
The kid that was in like the 70s was the real like watch your kids thing, 70s and 80s. And then the 90s parents were like, they're not going to take them.
Yeah, now you worry again. But like, right, this is like a sign in between where you're Sean can just go home at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, 10 o'clock. Well, I think the interesting thing is that it plays into what we know about Sean later, is that his parents wouldn't have been worried about him. They probably may or may not have even noticed he was missing at 10:15, much less whether or not he was walking home alone. Mm-hmm. But it does strike you as a little bit weird for Minkus to be out and about by himself. But it's like right after school, right? It's kind of early evening. Because they're ordering pizza, so it's dinner. It's, you know, it's not, maybe it's not quite dark yet, but
Minkus is also, if we want to get into the backstory, Minkus is also the kind of kid where you can absolutely imagine him going to a parent and saying, I need you to drive me to Corey and Sean's, because and they're literally parked waiting for him as he's all disheveled. Like, I could see Minkus doing that as well.
Yeah,
let's just say his
sure.
parents are there.
Okay. I actually like the innocence of him just walking home wherever he lives.
Yeah, me too. I do too.
So Eric comes downstairs to order pizza, and Corey tells Sean his mom is at her bowling league tonight, but Sean says that league ended 6 weeks ago. And now I love the idea that Sean's mom and Corey's mom were also on the same... They're like friends! That's so bizarre. Also, because then it reminded me too that in the Christmas episode, Santa's Little Helper, when we find out that Sean's dad gets laid off, that Alan is the one who breaks the news.
Yeah.
So it really does
seem
like it's a tight-knit
community. Yeah.
Or that you guys are family friends.
Yeah. Right, which is great. Right.
And I did not remember that.
Like to point out how much Ryder knows about sports. He literally almost just said that they play bowling together.
I know.
Yeah.
I would have said play in a bowling league. That's what I was going to say. They do the bowling. They do bowling together.
Bowling league seasonal? Do they have run out?
Good question. Because there has to be a winner. My husband is on a bowling league. Let's find out. Producer,
I just got a resounding yes.
There's a format because there is, you know, you're competing with other leagues. And so there has to be a winner at a certain, you know, you get points every week and then someone wins, a team wins.
I think all of these conversations around Minkus being able to walk home and Sean being able to, and the parents knowing each other, it all contributes to this pervasive sense that the community is tight-knit and small and safe, right?
Yeah.
You do feel like, and that's like a, I think that's a very intentional, very sitcom, but it's part of the comfort TV factor, right? Is like the sense that like, oh, it's going to be okay. Even if mom and dad are, you know, maybe having an affair, we can like stalk them for the night or we know what restaurant they're going to. Like everything is just tightly wound.
Yeah. And even two kids on the bus is totally safe. Like, we're going to jump on the bus for hours and nobody thinks twice about
it. Right. Nobody's going to worry. Yeah, you're not actually worried.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Nonstop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeny has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fischel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You are right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Books.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Books order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Books Company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Books has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Books is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Books now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Books.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's BOUQS.com, promo code WORLD.
Books, promo code WORLD.
Summer is steadily approaching, and you know what that means.
Wearing a shirt at the beach so I don't look like a sad radish for the entire vacation?
Okay, maybe.
Being thirsty?
Yes, Ryder, you got it. It is time to go outside and bask in the glory that is sunshine with barbecues and hikes and trips to exotic locations.
With your shirt on?
Yes, with your shirt on.
It is time to jump into a camper van with your son and your wife and
torture everyone. Well, with all these summer activities, it's so important that you stay hydrated.
And we're here to tell you all about Liquid IV. It has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick.
It's clear why Liquid IV is the #1 powdered hydration brand in America.
You just rip open a packet and pour it into your water and bam, you're hydrating with electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. But most importantly, it tastes good.
It's so easy and perfect after a workout, which I do to replenish after a nice long run.
And you can travel with Liquid IV right there in your pocket. Add it to a water on a flight or after a big night when you need just a little assistance to get up in the morning.
Tear, pour, live more. One stick plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. And with sugar-free flavors like white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and lemon lime, you can't miss.
Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV.
Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code WORLD at checkout.
That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WORLD at liquidiv.com. So, despite knowing this dilemma that the bowling league ended 6 weeks ago, Amy walks in with a bowling bag and says she's going bowling and then walks upstairs to say goodnight to Morgan. Everyone is suspicious. Corey holds up Amy's bowling bag and realizes that it is too light for a ball and finds red high heels and a black dress.
That's a great line, Ryder. Great line for you when you're like, oh, there should be a number right above the spiked heel. Like yeah. That was very funny. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then they find a card from the restaurant, and Will, this is the name of the restaurant you knew right away.
I remember this name, La Bougia, the fancy place that guys take the seniors take their prom
dates.
Maybe mom's dating a senior. Everybody else is.
And I remember when we just interviewed Betsy right after that interview aired, somebody tweeted, you guys forgot to mention the real acting achievement, which was making that bowling bag ball look heavy.
It's true. Yeah, true. Oh, man. Ryder, was this the first time you and I actually interacted on the show? I was in the classroom, but
No, I think there was an episode where you, me, and Corey are in the bedroom, but it might involve other kids, too. I think Dewan might have been
there. Yeah, you're right. Dewan is there, and maybe Memphis.
I feel like, and I think that's partly why I remember this episode so well, is that this is really fun. Like, the three of us scheming together and, like, bouncing off of each other, and I remember it, and I remember feeling, you know, like... It was a different show, and I think it was really exciting.
Did you see all three of us break when we're trying to zip up the bag?
Yes, I saw so it, especially great. On Ben's face. Yes, when he ran back to the table.
I was like, he is losing it right now.
All three of us were just trying not to laugh at that point.
Well, because it was so funny to watch you try to zipper up that bag. You were like, just so
three people on one zipper. Yeah, it was very funny.
You hear Ben do a laugh too. Like he does a little bit of a laugh at the end.
The
of
little
it.
Ben laugh. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny. So Amy comes back downstairs, says she's off to go bowling, and the boys know she's lying. Sean asks if there's trouble in paradise, and Corey and Sean realize that Amy isn't paying as much attention to Alan anymore, and she did pick the one night that Alan has his manager's meeting to go out. They think that this could be her having an affair. Sean suggests that they tail Amy because he's a big fan of NYPD Blue. Yeah.
This is a funny joke. It's like,
it's a great joke. Yeah. And another and totally 90s reference. Totally 90s reference.
Yeah.
The talk dirty part was interesting, though, because I was like, that's like a little bit of edge suddenly. Mm-hmm. Like, that's more, you saying talk dirty was more of an edge than the parents when they talked about like their date later. Interesting that line flipped in there.
It's a reference to the fact that NYPD, if I remember correctly, in the 90s, NYPD Blue was so revolutionary because they said a certain words on television. That was the whole joke. And they got a lot of attention. I think they said, you know,
A-hole, I think was what it was.
No, I think it was just ass. I think it was.
No, I think they were the first ones where they were allowed to say A-hole. Yeah, pretty sure that's why it was like a big thing.
They broke the barrier, and I remember that was like all anybody talked about NYPD. But it's funny because like Sean says, talk dirty instead of like swearing, you know?
Right,
which would make more sense. Yeah.
Right, because I hear talk dirty and I don't think swear words.
No. That's more, yeah.
Like sexy talk.
Horny.
Right. That's why you're like, it's interesting to have it in there. I think you also maybe saw someone naked for the first time on.
You saw a butt. Right. You saw a butt. And it was like, and it was so like Sipowicz's butt. That's the thing. It was one of those where it was like, oh, they're swinging for the fences. This is, you know, they're going, it's the 55-year-old, you know, bigger detective guy's butt. Like, oh, okay, sweet. Do it.
Yeah. It's like Harvey Keitel nudity. You're like, really?
Yeah, right.
Is that what we're going to do?
That's what we're going to do. Okay. I'd also, again, like to point out, this scene is still going. The scene we're talking about is super long.
I know. Well, this is it. We're going to get to the act break, and we've only had three scenes.
Three scenes. Yeah, it's amazing.
So Eric and Corey leave to go follow Amy, and Sean is left to babysit Morgan. And Corey says if he is killed on this mission, Sean needs to get the answer to the math problem and have Topanga channel it to him. So I love that like they found a way to work back in. Oh, yeah, we're still dealing with this math problem. We haven't forgotten about it.
Yep. Quote unquote math problem.
We're in the
philosophical math problem.
Morgan and babysitter Sean are playing cards. There's a Full House mention again. This time
all
with the
ABC
Olsen
shows,
twins.
NYPD Blue, Full House.
NYPD was okay.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's
all
completely
ABC
self-contained.
Shows.
The synergy. Yep.
I noticed in this scene, I am wearing a calculator watch that I believe was my real watch.
Yeah, you loved it.
Wow.
You were so excited about that calculator watch.
Do you remember this?
I do.
That's
you
so
loved
funny because I thought I had outgrown it by the time I was, but because I remembered it more like second and third grade, which was years before Boy Meets World, but I clearly was still kept it. I love that Casio calculator watch. Yeah, they've re-released it. It could hold 50 phone numbers, guys. It could hold 50 phone numbers. It would take an hour and a half to program
to put
one.
Them in? Did you have
to? Oh, you'd have
like
to sit there and like, you'd have to sit there and like with just the like point of your thumb or your fingernail, type in, you know, hit one four times to get to D.
It would be worth it when you get arrested and you have one phone call and you go, I have one number in this watch.
I know who to call.
It's the only person I can call.
Oh my God. I was so stoked on being able to keep phone numbers in my watch. But I think it was my real watch. That's so funny.
That's
so funny.
So Alan walks in and wonders why Morgan is still awake at 10:15. I love the idea that they picked 10:15.
Yeah. So there is one thing also, like the babysitting chain of command, like Ben needs a babysitter,
right?
And then Sean didn't a baby, like Sean then gets to become a babysitter. Like I feel like that was also like there was no worry about who was watching this like toddler.
Well, actually, at the beginning, when Will gets off the phone and the babysitter cancels, the only conversation is who's going to watch Weasel.
Eric says he'll watch
the weasel, which means I'll stay home and watch the toddler. So Ben actually doesn't seem like Ben needs or that Corey needs a babysitter. It's just that Corey's not capable of babysitting.
Right.
So he's just.
Corey's the one who dragoons Sean into doing that.
But I feel like when the dad comes home, he's not alarmed that Sean.
No, that's it. Not at all.
He's like, okay, Sean. The library. He's not exactly. Like, why is Sean, who's the same age as my younger son, babysitting my young daughter?
Right.
Right. Exactly.
Good point.
Math problems.
Yes. Sean lies and says they went to the library, even though Alan knows that the public library closes at 9. He goes upstairs to put Morgan to bed. And
which is insane, by the way, because knowing how library funding works now, they're closed at like 4:30 in the afternoon.
They opened at 1.
The most 90s thing that a library could possibly be open until 9 p.m. Anyway, go on.
My jaw did drop when he said 9. It was the last number I expected to come out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I also loved Lily's jacks are better to open. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
I liked also the mommy and daddy, queen and king's line.
Oh yeah, two mommies and two daddies.
Actually, good line. Two daddies and three mommies.
Yeah, that it is cute. That's how we get our Full House reference.
Yep.
Alan goes upstairs to put Morgan to bed, and Eric and Corey come home right at that moment. They had found out that Amy was dancing with a guy in her black dress and red shoes at the club, and they were like cuddling up together in a booth. It's getting serious, so Sean starts to leave after asking, like, who do you think it was? They couldn't tell. So we know that she was with a mystery man. And Alan comes back downstairs to talk about where Eric and Sean were, and Corey can't stop covering his mouth and bouncing his legs while Eric lies to Alan, explaining where they went.
This was fun. I thought Ben was really good in this scene.
Yep.
Yes, it's sitcom-y, but it's fun sitcom-y.
Yeah.
It's energetic sitcom-y. Yeah. He's great. It's like, it doesn't matter. I'm playing straight man, and it is a straight up comedy duo with the anchor in the center, and you're pinging it back and forth. And just from a comedic standpoint, it is a ton of fun. And I thought Ben nailed these moments. I thought
this
he was great.
A fantastic use of natural Ben Savage energy.
It's true.
You know, the bouncing legs is something we've caught Ben doing under the cafeteria. Like, he had so much energy.
Yeah.
And this is the perfect place for him to, the way he slapped his hands back up to his face. And I mean, the timing was so great. Funny. It was so funny.
I don't have a Too Much Shirts for this episode, but I did watch it with Indy, and he loved this episode. He loved this scene. He also, the first thing out of his mouth in this scene was, well, it was the dad. She was with the dad. Like, he called it.
I
think that's part of the safety factor of like knowing that nobody
part
would
of the
actually
charm.
Cheat her. Yeah. Like, he was just immediately like, well, of course it's going to be okay. And she's not really, you know, dancing with another guy. It's going to turn out to be the dad. And he just immediately called it. I was like, yeah, you're probably right, dude. But yeah, at seven, you know that nobody's actually going to, you know, the family's not really going to fall apart, which I just think is a nice vibe.
Imagine, like, if this show had decided to have the mom have an affair,
right?
Like, it would have been darker than NYPD.
It would have been like heart-rending.
And these kids like witnessed it with their, they come back just like shaking.
Oh, jeez.
But in a weird way, Boy Meets World kind of got to a place that was similar. Like, by season seven, we did stuff that was just like, what? Are they really going to split Corey and Topanga up? Like, no. I mean, I'll ultimately know we didn't, but I think we would do episodes that would have scenes that were kind of like that.
You got the baby in the NICU and all, I mean, the baby, the baby's in the NICU. And
that's
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that happened that was,
Mr.
real.
Mr. Turner dying?
Yeah. Well, we thought.
Okay. Motorcycle
accident. He was fine. He came back 9 years later.
And death is also something that I do think they like to throw kids into. That was like a rite of passage.
Yeah.
Now Disney established that kids were allowed to see like horrifying traumatic deaths all the time.
Yeah.
So that would have been less, if they had come back and the mom had just been died, like been like hit by a car.
That would have been more acceptable. But the idea that she like might love somebody else and like want to live in another household somewhere.
Yeah, and then you guys took a bus to go and cover that, too. Like, if you guys just, like, gotten on this bus and come home and been like, yeah, we watched mom just, like, make out with this other man.
Okay, I'm sorry. Very quick tangent. Yeah. Are there episodes that any of you remember from any shows growing up that kind of scarred you in a way to where it was one of those episodes from a show where it was like, I remember how I felt when I watched that? Because I have one, and I was just curious if anybody else has any of those.
No, I remember I had a horrific nightmare where Alf was eating people, and I could never watch Alf again. So,
wow, interesting.
But that was just me. That was a dream I had that is like scarred me, and I guess it was just the weirdness of Alf coming alive in my dreams. I can't remember an episode that I was like devastated by.
Okay. I do remember the teacher who dies in Wonder Years that I felt sad about. I don't think it scarred me, but it did stick with me. I might have been upset by the Tom Hanks drunken uncle.
Oh, that on Family Ties.
Yeah.
That was a tough one, too. So the Tom, that was a great character, and he was amazing. Tom Hanks plays their alcoholic uncle.
And
it's just a gut. He's phenomenal. I mean, he's Tom Hanks. He's phenomenal. But that's up there for me, too. Danielle, do you have any?
I don't. I barely watch TV as a kid.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there was an episode of Different Strokes where His best friend Dudley gets kidnapped and is brought to the back of a bicycle shop and is molested. And it's about like it's all about like now and they
I remember hearing about this.
They hypnotize Gary Coleman's character to remember the license plate, and they end up getting Dudley out of there. But it was like as a little kid this, it was like traumatic. It was the Beware of Stranger Danger episode, right. And it was like, man, that stuck with me. Yeah,
what an intense thing for a group of writers to decide to do, right? Like, let's cover
and to push it so far to not even have it just be the threat of what could happen if you were then, but the actually like,
it was brutal. I mean, I could be remembering this wrong, but they bring Dudley out and he's like covered in an emergency blanket and he's like shaking. It's like, I could be, people will check me on that if I'm wrong, but that's my memory. It was like a disturbing bit of TV. So
Starly, you wrote on one of my favorite shows ever. You wrote on Search Party, which I mean, seasons 1 through 3 are like, I was addicted to, especially season 3. Has Boy Meets World influenced your writing at all?
Oh, I'm sure it has. Season 3 is my favorite season of Search Party as well.
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
I know. I feel like that was the one that people, because that one came out, we made seasons, I worked on all the seasons. We wrote season 3 2 years before it came out. Wait for HBO Max to get created.
Oh, that's right.
It's going to get uncreated. Search Party was on TBS. Then HBO Max, the merger happened. And literally it didn't come out for so long. And then we filmed season 3, finished it. Then we filmed season 4 and season 3 had not come out yet. So it started to feel like we were just making a show for us to watch.
Yeah, in a vacuum. Yeah.
Before it was being filmed, we were like, this is our job. We just make a TV show for each other.
Right.
But I feel like season 3 kind of was the one, because it came out in the beginning part of the pandemic.
Right.
It came out May 2020 when people were like tired of watching TV. And then season 4 came out January 2021, when I think a variant had happened, or we were like, I can literally track it through the pandemic. I'm sure Boy Meets World influenced. I'm honestly, because I feel like Search Party is so aware of tropes.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's such a show that embraces pop culture and tropes are regularly referred to with love in the room. Like, I feel like the way they're brought up in the room will be like, I love this thing. How are we going to put this on in the Search Party spin? It's not the kind of, it doesn't discard things and it doesn't feel, it gets very much part of the DNA. So I feel like, why wouldn't it be infused with it? Like, and I think, and also just like anything I think that has a group dynamic, like a group of friends, Search Party is a group of friends. I feel like you're saying like, episode we just watched, Sean and Will and Corey, like it's all, you guys are like starting to form that friendship.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes a show work, when you feel like the characters like to have fun with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love about
watching. It's a group of people you want to hang out with and sort of be a part of. Yeah. I love that feeling. Yeah.
And a show like Search Party really needs that, because they're doing such
crazy, awful things.
I always say that. I'm always like, I guess it's awful, but like, I also like, I've never, you guys probably feel this way. I don't know if you guys feel this way when you watch something, when you watch Boy Meets World, because I never wasn't a part of Search Party. Like, I was there from the beginning. I can never see it just as a viewer. Like, I don't know. People will tell me that it causes them anxiety or some seasons are darker than others. And I'm like, I can't tell.
If you wait 30 years, can start your own rewatch podcast. And it's very bizarre. Because I feel like I'm watching, I am watching Boy Meets World for the first time. And I do feel like I can be pretty objective about it. I think, I don't know, maybe not, but like, it is interesting. Like time changes everything. And like, I feel like now I'm understanding what people have been saying to me for 30 years about Boy Meets World. Like the things that I've been hearing that I'm like, really? Our show made you feel that way or this? Or that? Like even your segment on This American Life. Like I remember hearing that and being like, that is a strange take. Like, I don't get that. Now I totally get it. Like, cause I'm older, I'm removed from it, and I can watch it and be like, oh, this, it is comforting. Like we're talking about that notion of safety and you just want to be, it's like just the show is a warm blanket wrapped around you.
It's a blanket. It's so nice. Absolutely a blanket. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So eventually Corey screams that Amy was with another guy. Alan appears concerned and his sons are ready to stand in solidarity with him. Amy's car pulls up and Alan says he's going to go have a talk with her. And then we are in the Matthews backyard. Alan walks to the backyard to meet Amy and says they're busted. Amy is bummed they found out. They joke they weren't sneaky enough on their date. It seems like they're kind of role playing a little bit. Yeah. Like
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So the headlights from the car.
Oh, gosh. Are
oh,
you?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, backyard. Yes, I am. Oh, yes, God. I am.
Also, Alan came in the front door.
I understand. But so where did he park? Now, the headlights from the car come in the back and swoop through wherever that is. And then she's walking from the back area when during the other times they would come out and they would take a like our grandmother was Rolling Stone came out and took a right to get to her car. I can't.
No, she didn't take a right. She went left. She went left toward the back. Yes, 100%.
Okay, so somebody on Twitter just recently made a new map. Okay. And they followed what I had suggested in an episode that we're actually on a corner.
Right. Okay.
But
it has to be.
I'll get this person's name and comment to them directly, but I think they got the street on the wrong side. So I imagine it is a corner where the corner is actually the mystery yard. The side, right. You know, the yard that where the French doors go out to,
right.
That leads to a street.
To a street.
And that street leads to a driveway that is between Feeny, or like the garage that we do see in later seasons. You guys play basketball in front of a garage. Is like basically between Feeny's house, like before Feeny's yard, but back there. If that makes
sense. Okay, I'm going to need a full 3D digital map of this.
Yeah. I'll draw my map. I know, I said I would. Please draw your map.
We get like 10 maps a day via email, by the way.
Yeah.
So I would really love for Ryder to draw his so we can add it into
the
fray.
I'm going
to
need a professional 3D over what I got it because I can't wrap my head around it. Don't know where they're coming from. Don't know where they're going. That's all I'm saying. And it's me. I know it's me, but I want to see it.
And is it open? Is that why Minkus is able to just come from the back? Does it have like a gate that you can just open?
Yeah, we're assuming that everybody walks through everybody else's yard or that, like, right. I do think that, yeah, there has to be just a driveway and another street above the French doors, basically, that you can walk from a street onto a driveway into the backyard.
Driving past the house that you see at the beginning,
right.
And you're driving past the house is on the right hand side as you're driving, you can then take another street and see the second part of the house is what
exactly.
You're saying.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. There's access points on both sides that you can park at or, you know, find the, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's the way I want to see it. I want to see it.
Okay, so we're also at the same time that we see stuff in the backyard. We are in Corey and Eric's bedroom. Corey and Eric are watching their parents interact from the window, and then they panic when Amy walks away. We don't have a mother anymore. To their surprise, Amy walks into their bedroom to explain everything is fine and that she was actually dancing with your father. And I absolutely loved Will.
Best joke.
Your best, I mean, amazing. Eric yells, Dad's not our father.
That was funny. Yeah, that was a great joke.
Yeah, that's not our father.
Really cute joke. Great, great delivery. Amy explains, no, it was their dad, Alan. She says they lied because they work hard to keep their relationship fresh. Eric agrees that sneaking around sometimes sounds romantic, but Corey still doesn't get it and is super grossed out.
Very quickly, Amy is standing in front of a sign behind her, and with the way the sign is blocked, it just looks like it says, drink piss.
What?
Are you serious?
What does the sign say?
I don't know, but it's like, it says drink.
How does your brain absorb all this stuff?
It's
every time we do a rewatch, you're like, did you notice the extra in the background? I mean, this is crazy to me.
You're right now.
You have like no filter. You have like, how does your brain keep up with all this information?
I don't know.
Will?
It's
mind-boggling to me.
It just does.
Incredible.
She's in front of a sign. It's a red sign, and it says, I think it says like PUFFS, like drink puffs or something like that. But there's something in front of it blocking part of the U and part of the two Fs. So it just looks like it says drink piss.
Will, are you one of those people that when you walked by like the magic eye posters, you were just like, yep, it's a boat? Like, you just saw it?
Yes. I'm more, it's weird. I'm more of the person where if I sit in the middle of a room, by the time I leave, I know everybody's conversation around me while holding a conversation of my own.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's just that I'm that guy.
Here's, he's that guy, but also don't send him an email. He won't see it. He won't read it. He won't see it.
Emails
if you
are...
have if you have a schedule of any kind, you're gonna have to get it tattooed on his hand. Yeah. He won't write it down. He won't remember it.
I did. I got it. But Sue bought me not a calendar, but one of the ones you have to hang on the wall.
And do you carry it around with you at all times?
It is sitting in the same place at our house. I have to check it every morning, and everything is written in different colors now, so I know where everything is going, what everything is doing.
You have a mommy calendar.
I do. I absolutely do. Absolutely do. We're doing it in different colors. Amazing. I'm being reminded to look at it.
Oh, man.
I tied my own shoe this morning, not both, but one, and I'm very excited about what where this
You're
is leading.
You're a little like Nemo, and I love it.
Yeah, I got a calendar. It's working well.
That's good. Okay, good. I'm happy to hear that.
Okay, so I just want to say about this scene, for, you know, not only is Betsy great and able to deliver a nice, like, I'm glad, like we've talked about on this show, that she doesn't have, she hadn't had much until this episode to be able to be the one to sort of talk to the sons and be like, here's what's really going on. I mean, this could have easily been Alan, you know, but or both of them together. And I just think that maybe this is, you know, partly in response to the writers listening to Betsy say, like, can I have something more to do? Because this is a really nice beat.
And she's great.
It also speaks to something we've talked about Boy Meets World, which is kind of cool, is that, like, Amy and Alan are kind of cool parents, you know?
Yep.
Like they are going on dates, and, like, you just didn't see that. You didn't, you know, there wasn't a space for that in many sitcoms at the time, and I think it's nice. I think it's a really nice touch.
It's really interesting. I find it a very interesting glimpse into this whole time. Like, it actually, like, breaks through the seam of a sitcom to show parents, the whole thing is they're trying to get away from
the sitcom
life. Yeah. Like, we need a break. We need to be different characters tonight. We need to, like, feel like alive. We need to feel like we're not just parents in this family, which is what we come to a sitcom for.
Right.
And even the way Corey reacts, where he's like, you wanted to get away from us. And you're like, yes, that's healthy. That's good. And maybe it's like a harbinger of what the show will start going toward. Like, it's just, it's really, it's commenting on the very thing that the show itself, that the nature of a sitcom is providing. Like, you're not supposed to want to leave the set.
Right.
Yeah. The safety bubble that we've been talking about. Yeah.
And they're like, so the only way that we can keep this going is for us to leave this. We have to feel something else. We have to have more experiences. We have to have more dimension so that we can be good parents, so that you guys, we can raise you right. Like, it's actually like a pretty, it's a kind of a revolutionary sentiment to watch. Mm-hmm. Like you said, but like, you're just not expecting it. And it's still delivered in a sitcom way.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I was glad to see it.
Yeah. So was I. Cool. It was a great scene. And again, Betsy's so wonderful in it, and her, the way she's relaxed and casual, and it's very sweet. So then she leaves saying she's going to go get a goodnight kiss from a guy in the backyard, and Eric runs to the window and is relieved to see that it's still their dad.
Still dad.
And then we're in Feeny's classroom. Minkus is alone doing math problems on the chalkboard. Sean walks in and claps the chalk erasers on Minkus, leaving his hair a little white.
Why?
Just because he's doing math problems on the board.
Gosh.
Mr. Feeny and the students return to class, and Feeny once again recites the math problem and reminds Corey that the answer still isn't 7. Corey says he realized Feeny posed this question to stop thinking, so that they would stop thinking like kids and start thinking like adults. Yeah, exactly.
Start thinking like nihilists.
Exactly.
And that sometimes there are many answers or not even an answer at all.
Which
and
is not true with math at all. Ever. There usually aren't many answers to a math problem. Nor are there no answers if it's a math problem.
I know. I don't know why Feeny. It wasn't just a philosophical question he could have posed to them at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because I'll tell you exactly why. Because Topanga needed, someone did need to have a right answer. So what was Topanga's answer?
there is no answer. It's got all black and white.
Yeah, that's what it's got
to
be.
Because then the whole thing is, well, that's why Topanga was able to figure it out and not Minkus, because Topanga is open to thinking differently. And so someone who is open to thinking differently is going to come up with a right answer. And those of us who are closed-minded and not open to thinking differently are not going to get it right.
Which is why we need to investigate QAnon. And I mean, it's like it completely, just think differently. Don't trust math.
Do your research.
Facts and answers. Oh my God.
But like the thing is, we did find an answer with the parents. Like it could have been like, if you look at things differently, you'll get the answer. Which I guess what you're saying about Topanga, but they shouldn't have had Topanga the right answer, I guess, in this. Cause it's just like, that is the QAnon way. Sorry.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Topanga, but like in this model, and because it could have been that Corey came the next day and was like, I now understand the answer because I understand that if I shift my perspective
and my approach,
I can see how these two people can work together and somehow, I guess, wash it quicker than any.
You can arrive at the answer from coming at a different angle as opposed to there is no answer. It's like, okay.
Which is like, they got such a solid, substantial answer last night from their parents.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Very satisfying.
So Minkus says even though his work is for nothing, he may have accidentally solved time travel. Topanga asks if Corey's spirit guide gave him the answer too, and he says, yeah, my mom.
That's very sweet. It's very a very sweet little moment.
Cute little moment. And then we're in the tag. We're in Feeny's classroom. Minkus is still doing math problems on the chalkboard, and then he actually disappears after he says maybe time isn't a continuum and that it is a random occurrence of moments.
This is the first official breaking of reality on Boy Meets World. Yeah, breaking of the fourth wall.
Yeah. It's with some sweet graphics for the time, too, by the way.
Amazing. This is like Star Trek Avatar Next Generation. Stuff.
Exactly.
I just got a note from producer Jensen. This is technically the second time we see Earth from afar in that one scene where Corey yells,
with screams, right?
The screams. But
that's out of this world POV. This is the first time we're actually like, time travel's possible. Yeah, like magic can happen within our show. Right.
So he disappears. And when he first disappeared, I was like, why is there no laugh? Because I thought that's where it was going to end. I thought he was just going to disappear and that was going to be where the show ended. And then it was pure silence on television. It was just totally silent. And then he comes back again and he repeats the same thought. Then he disappears again. There's more silence. Then he returns, repeats himself again. Then he doubts his work and erases the board, completely oblivious to the fact that he just solved the mysteries of the universe.
Time travel. Yeah.
And it does end on more silence.
Very interesting.
And that's our episode.
And there was like six scenes in that entire episode. The scenes were so long. It was great.
I know. Let's see. I can count how many scenes there are. Let's see. We have six. 3, 4, 5. Yeah, you're right. 6.
Wow. It's a good episode.
It's a great episode.
Yeah. I think the math equation stuff is a little iffy, but you know. Indy definitely noticed. He was like, so he always learns the lesson back in the classroom. I was like, you're getting the rhythms of the show now. Yes, sir. But, you know, Indy would have no idea what the actual lesson was. He just knows that there's a satisfying, like, it all comes back to the classroom where Mr. Feeny is, you know, in charge. And knows, you know, knows what's going on in Corey's life magically.
Starly, what do you watch now for comfort?
I tend to watch procedurals for comfort. The weird thing about working in TV, you start watching less TV though, too. Like it's because you start. That's which is so sad.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's I'm teaching screenwriting right now, and like one of the first lectures is like, guys, it's going to kind of ruin the magic trick for you. Like that's kind of our job is like you'll start seeing because you know like I have a friend who's an incredibly intelligent doctor, multiple degrees. And like I was having a conversation with him a couple of years ago, and I mentioned that during the second act of a movie, and he was like, "Movies have acts," and I was like, "Oh God, that's so beautiful!" Like you live in this world where that you know you just sit down and for an hour and a half stuff happens, and it does. You don't know why it makes sense, but of course, you know there's structure there.
As a final question for you to wrap this all up, do you have any questions for us that we could answer for you?
When you guys watch it, do you feel like you're watching yourselves? Like, do you?
There's a weird, a little bit of a weird out of body experience where I feel mm-hmm. like it's me, but also not me. Like in episodes that I don't remember at all, I feel like, yeah, it's a little like out of body. And then the scenes that I really, now I'm not sure it feels like me. I'm not really sure it does.
I don't think it feels like me either. Because when I think about the identification I have, like with my own face or my own body, I actually, because I spent so much time with you guys as well, I feel similar about you. Does that make sense? Yeah. I look at like Lee's face or Ben's face and I'm like, I spent so many hours working with that face, like opposite me and making faces to each other, that it's the same way that I feel about looking at my own face. So it's a bizarre, it's a very, but I am getting more insecure watching it now.
Are you?
I'm starting to get more self-conscious about the way I know I've made jokes about like how I'm nervously running my hands through my hair and stuff in the early episodes, but like around this age, for whatever reason, I think going into the second season, I'm going to be way more like, oh God, what's happening to my face and my body?
For me, and this sounds very weird, but it's the 100% truth. I see way more of myself in the cartoon characters that I voice than I do of me on screen.
Interesting.
I don't know why, but I always have. I can look at a role I've done voiceover and I can see me. Watching somebody else as I'm watching these episodes. It's bizarre.
Well, thank you so much for being here with us.
Yes,
you are truly a Boy Meets World expert and critic. And so it's been really nice talking to you about this and letting you shine some light on our own show for us. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Come back in some of the later seasons too.
I'll love to. Time.
Awesome.
Yeah, we should have her on once a season to just tell us like how we've
how we're evolving.
I'll get a different face thing every time. So
perfect. Maybe have micro needling next time.
Yeah.
I'll join you. I'll start doing it too.
All right. Thank you guys. Thank you, Starly.
Bye.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work!
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending!
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fischel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You are right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Bouqs.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Bouqs order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Bouqs Company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Bouqs is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Books now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Books.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Books.com, promo code WORLD.
Books, promo code WORLD.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car. Backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
Well, that was great to have Starley on. She, you know, she has such an interesting sensibility and like a take on our show that I really appreciate. And I feel like, you know, talking about that safety bubble, fascinating.
Huge. It's that's amazing. Like, I'd never thought about that before. And it's so true.
Yeah. And it's fun. And I think it's going to keep getting interesting watching Boy Meets World, because I do. There's a self-consciousness about Boy Meets World that, you know, obviously became a big thing in the later years. But it is already here. That, you know, besides the fourth wall breaking of Minkus magically transporting, there is this sort of like super geekery about the format of sitcom. You know, it's like we're doing sitcom well, but we're also kind of commenting on sitcomness, and that's going to happen more and more as Boy Meets World goes on. And I'm excited for that, because that, you know, that became like basically what Girl Meets World was. It was like a meta sitcom. Do you know what I mean? It was like characters constantly commenting on their own characters and their own like story arcs. And like, that's what ends up happening. Like, I know by season five, Corey and Topanga are like, but we're supposed to be together. That's our story, right? There's like a self-consciousness that is super interesting. And you can see the seeds for that already in season one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's a reminder to everybody that we are going off of, we are doing this rewatch based on original air date order, not the order they have on Disney Plus. So if you are using the DVDs, bingo, that's the order that we're using. So those are correct. So our next episode that we are going to recap is going to be She Loves Me, She Loves Me Not. It's season one, episode 13. It originally aired January 14th, 1994. Thank you all for sticking around for this episode of Pod Meets World. You can follow us on Pod Meets World Show on Instagram. Be sure to email us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. Also, we've got merch.
Merch.
At podmeetsworldshow.com. And also, if you have not rated us, please subscribe. Give us 5 stars. I accept nothing less than 5 stars. if you hate us, then write that in a text note on your phone and then delete it immediately. Anything other than that, go ahead and rate us. So thank you all for joining us. We love you all. Pod dismissed.
Pod Meets World is an iHeart podcast produced and hosted by Danielle Fishel, Will Friedle, and Ryder Strong. Executive producers Jensen Karp and Amy Sugarman. Executive in charge of production, Danielle Romo. Producer and editor, Tara Sudbach. Producer, Jackie Rodriguez. Engineer and Boy Meets World superfan, Easton Allen. Our theme song is by Kyle Morton of Typhoon, and you can follow us on Instagram at podmeetsworldshow or email us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com.
When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat
Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler Elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through.
BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy.
Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you.
Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. When it comes to Podmeets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303 mile range, available two-way charging and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.